to the bonus level.
Hello again and welcome back to the Bonus Level Podcast. This is level 30. Can't believe we've been on the air for 30 episodes, 30 levels. I'm Jack. Joined with me, of course, as usual, is Luch and Josh.
Hello.
And hey. This week we have a moral dilemma, a discussion on morality and power and what you would do with any sort of power, and how we are to trust people with power, and their moral questions that follow. Now, I feel like, and you guys can kind of chime in on this part, I feel like that we tend to like discussing things that are probably outside our pay grade, right?
Probably. Well, that's just like your opinion.
That's like your opinion, man. No, and what I mean by that is I like to talk about things that I don't necessarily have a degree in, but things that I have very strong opinions on, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes the three of us, we seem to go different directions when it comes to some of these more philosophical questions. And I think that it's very interesting to see kind of a perspective from people that are alike in many ways, but then when it comes down to certain questions that involve humanity and morality, that we kind of maybe take opposite stances or just different perspectives on. And I think it's very interesting to talk about. So this week, again, we're going to be talking and taking a look at the question of if you were given unlimited power, for example, Superman, could you be trusted to make the right choices? And then furthermore, what defines right and wrong? Who defines what's good, what's evil? Where does the moral compass get to fall when it comes to humanity, right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's a very, it's a very interesting topic in question. But before we get started, I want to play some dialogue from a very, very popular and well-received film from the DC universe, Batman versus Superman. There is a scene where Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor is talking to Henry Cavill's Clark Kent about why humanity should have a problem with Superman. And although that a lot of people didn't like this film, I actually personally enjoyed most of it, to be honest with you, just because it was, you know, entertaining, and it's pretty much the best DC has to offer. But this scene is very interesting, so I'm going to take some time. We're going to listen to it, and then we're going to discuss. So sit back and enjoy this little bit of dialogue.
Problems up here. The problem of evil in the world. The problem of absolute virtue.
I'll take you in without breaking you, which is more than you deserve.
The problem of you on top of everything else. You above all. Because that's what God is. Horus, Apollo, Jehovah, Kal-El, Clark, Joseph, Kent. See, what we call God depends upon our tribe, Clark Joe. Because God is tribal. God takes sides. No man in the sky intervened when I was a boy to deliver me from Daddy's fists and abominations. I figured out way back. If God is all powerful, he cannot be all good. And if he is all good, then he cannot be all powerful. And neither can you be. They need to see the fraud you are with their eyes. The blood on your hands.
Okay, so you can kind of get the gist of what he's getting at, right? So with unlimited power comes choice of consequence. So when you have unlimited power, you literally are defining what is good and evil. You get to decide, right?
Correct.
Now, obviously, that we're talking about something that is, you know, supernatural. We're talking about a superhuman being in the DC universe that, you know, he has one weakness and it's a rock, and it's, you know, like so cliche. He has every power ever. You know, he's just like the ultimate being, right? And, you know, given that, you know, in that scenario, do you think, now we're going to, obviously we're going to break it down to, you know, a more realistic and tangible discussion, but do you see Lex Luthor's point of view in that discussion?
I do. I would like to see it. I don't know. It's probably because I'm dumb, but I'd like to see it spelled out a little bit more clear. And it's also probably from it being a while of seeing the movie and stuff like that, kind of just trying to imagine and piece together the scene and how everything is going with it. But overall, like, I feel like I'm starting to get the gist of it, but there's still some more I would like to hear.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In which aspect, like which part, like needs more clarification?
I don't know. Cause I'm trying to like process it and compartmentalize and piece together what parts of it I really feel like I got to get grasp on. And then the other part that, I mean, cause I guess like, so he says, if you're all powerful, that you can't be all good because you choose sides at that point.
Yeah. So basically, yeah. So at the end of the day, like, you can't be all good because from somebody's point of view, your choices have a negative impact. For instance, like, yes, a war, right? So like a soldier goes to war and he is an American soldier. He fights in a war set by his government and he fights against German soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That German soldier is going to war for his country, deemed by his government. So you go and you kill the German soldier, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Well, if you're an American, you're winning the war. It's a good thing.
It's good, yeah.
If you're a German, you just lost a soldier. It's bad.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about the politics behind, you know, why the war is fighting and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about like the, you know, the everyday, the soldier that's being drafted. He has no choice. He doesn't get to choose, oh, I don't believe in this war, I'm not fighting it. Like, he's sent to war and he's sent to do a job. So in this situation, it's the Superman complex of, when you have unlimited power, when you choose to use that power or make a decision, there's always going to be consequences for somebody else.
Yeah.
You're choosing to do right, but it's right from your point of view, not necessarily somebody else's.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of get the feeling for, but I wanted to make sure that we clarified that to... Because if we start this episode off with me assuming something completely wrong and then we're like starting to go down that rabbit hole, that would be kind of dumb. So, yes, no, we're all on the same page here as long as Luch is.
Okay. I'm on the same page. I'm calling you on. What does that mean?
He's calling you out.
No, just making sure we're all good here.
Yeah. So, again, you're saying you can kind of understand what he's saying? Do you agree with
what
he's saying?
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I remember, you know, when you hear the stuff in the history books of everyone sailing over from England and Spain and all, and they land here in the United States and they're either talking to the, you know, the Aztecs or the Mayans or the Native Americans, and they're like, oh no, you're doing this all wrong. Like, you guys are completely evil. Why are you worshiping like the trees and stuff? Like, this is totally wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is all that we've done. Our entire, like, my granddad did this, his granddad, like, from the beginning of time. This is all that we've done. And you're now telling me that this is bad? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
Right. So, why was he a villain? From Lex Luthor's point of view, if you're saying that, like, okay, that makes sense, you know, why should you get to choose, you know? You have all this power, you have to be kept in check. So why was he regarded as a villain? I mean, besides like all of like the shady, you know, criminal, you know,
yeah,
you know, stealing and, you know, money laundering, you know, all of that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, you know, his issue with Superman was always the fact that, like, here you have God come to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we worship this this person. Like this, he has unlimited power. He could kill all of us at any time if he just so choose. Like who decides God's moral compass?
Yeah. And that's where things get squirrely. Because squirrely. I mean, that's the only way that I could think of to describe it. Cause basically like with me, you know, I have my two kids, so I want to try imposing on them the best moral compass that I can put on them. And it's because I want them to be able to grow up and be decent human beings. So I'm going to tell them what I think is good and what I think is bad. And I'm going to be basing those off of millions of different things. With me, I have no religious affiliation and I have no political affiliation. And so for me, what I've kind of broken my things down to is how are your actions going to affect the people around you? You know, is if you decided to take this from a store, you know, or steal, like, what does that do to the person that owns the store? Like, I've had friends that have run small businesses that someone taking something from the store it's a heartbreaking thing. It hurts the business a lot, you know, like thinking in terms of that kind of stuff, or physically hurting someone, or trying to, you know, lie, cheat, and steal, you know, to get ahead, you know, those kind of things are where my moral compass lies. The area that things start, especially like where Superman, you could easily see where things could be really bad if instead of, because I feel like he tends to fall along that kind of compass where he's like, don't hurt people. We're not going to have too much of a problem. You know, don't try robbing banks and stuff like that. We're not going to have too much of a problem. But if all of a sudden it was like, you know, Superman 2024, the Republican, and it's like, he follows only Republican guidelines, right. You would have half the United States going like, fuck this Superman guy, you know, because that doesn't fall within their guidelines or maybe their moral compass of what's right and wrong. And that's why I like breaking things down rather than being religious or political to just like, am I hurting anybody in my actions?
Okay. Luch, what about you? Do you relate to Lex Luthor's point of view there?
You know, it's really kind of hard to say since, you know, almost all of it's like, even if it's, we're just talking about political power, like even regular power. Like, I feel that there will always be, when someone has too much power, I feel like the world, the way it is right now, has a way of, I don't know, kind of alienating it now. I mean, it wasn't, you know, the case, you know, maybe in the early 1900s or the mid 1900s, but nowadays it's kind of like, you know, so it's kind of hard to say. But do I agree with Lex Luthor? Like, you know, Superman was, you know, he was obviously the most powerful being in existence, or at least on you know, the plane of Earth. But again, like, you know, they just got lucky because Superman was good. And you don't know what happens if he was, you know.
Well, we kind of got to see in Justice League when he comes back to life that like he necessarily isn't.
I'm not gonna good. Lie, I didn't see Justice League.
Oh,
okay. Well he comes back to like General Zod. I mean, General Zod's basically the evil version of Superman. You know?
Yeah.
Like he showed that you could, if you have no care for the well-being of people, that things can get really messy really fast. And
squirrely.
Yeah, squirrely. Definitely. I think where sometimes things can get really dark, and I can see, well, I don't know. I guess like over time where we generally feel like Lex Luthor is coming from is a place of, I have these evil things that I want to do. Superman, you keep getting in the way. Therefore, I hate you. Instead of if he was just a normal guy, or even if he was a rich dude, but he was a good guy, whatever, and he didn't want Superman to do that because of the fact of one man having too much power, then yeah, that's an understandable statement. Because at some point, Superman could easily start thinking along the same lines as Thanos and go like, all I do every day, I wake up and I go out there and I save you stupid freaking people. And all you do is keep crashing your cars and crashing your airplanes and blowing shit up. And I'm tired of saving you guys. So you know what? Half you are gone. I'm cutting off this half of the world. You're gone tomorrow, you know? And
so literally just pulling a Thanos. Just-
yeah, exactly. He could do that. And I think that's what Lex Luthor is trying to say and that kind of thing. And it's, you know, so it is reasonable. I think coming from Lex, it makes it a little bit squirrely just because he
he's a criminal, right?
He is a criminal. He's done all these bad things and Superman's foiled his plans enough times that you're like, all right, Lex, we know what your real underlying problem is. Yeah, but yes, that was a good speech, but I can see through your BS.
No, and I think ultimately, yeah, I think you have to take it out of context and just take the words for what they are, because at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't really matter who's saying that. The dilemma still remains that, you know, that's very, very true. Anyone that is all powerful can't be all good, so to speak, right? Yeah. Because it's all about perspective. It's all about like whose perspective are you looking at it from? Yeah. And then that follows also, you know, where's the moral compass? How does it, you know, who determines what is good inherently and what is evil? And then, you know, you, Josh, you brought up the whole, you know, coming to America and the Indians and things like that. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you know, history is written by the victors, right? That's the phrase. And so, yeah, everything looks like it's all, you know, hunky dory. Everything looks like it's great from our point of view because, you know, we live in the land of the free. We're the privileged. We are the, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We came and we saved the Indians because these guys were living in just huts out in the wilderness. Yeah, like
no technology. Savages,
and we were like, no way, don't worry. We're going to save you. Here's a blanket with smallpox. It's going to cut your numbers down so we can manage you guys a little bit easier. Yeah. And now you're saved. Like, good job.
But the point is, so like, all right, so we always see on the flip side of that, we always see these alien movies, right? So like when something happens, aliens invade the Earth. And we just are like, independence. We need to band together and fight them off. But like throughout history, all it is people invading other people's lands and taking their shit.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden now aliens come to Earth to do the same thing to us. And now we have a problem. And we don't look at it like, hey, wait, maybe they're going to advance our technology and help us. And they're going to save us from killing each other in wars and famine and disease. No, we're like, oh, defend the planet at all costs. No, that's not really how it should work, right? I mean, if you follow your own, you know, civilization's timeline.
Exactly.
But anyway, so bringing it back down to, you know, something that's a little bit more relatable. You know, Josh, you mentioned, you know, you're trying to raise your kids and have, you know, a moral compass of, you know, the general rule of don't hurt other people. Like, think about what your actions and how they, you know, affect the people around you. Your actions have consequences, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that ultimately that's like the base of morality. But the question remains, who decided, right? Mm-hmm. Or where does it come from that it is the right thing to do to not have an every man for himself attitude, right? Like think about, you know, back in, you know, maybe a lot, you know, a lot longer ago where there was no technology and you lifespan wasn't as long and things like that. If, you know, there was a time whenever if a person came to your house unannounced, uninvited, they walked through the door, you shot them.
Yeah.
He walked up to the door, you shot them. They walked onto your property. You said, get off my property or I'm going to shoot you. There was no like, you know, let's talk, let's figure it out. Let's, you know, maybe I'm here to help. Maybe I need help. None of that. There's a time whenever it literally was every man for himself because that person was going to do to you if you didn't do to them first.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's still today. You see that in a lot of, you know, a lot of crime, a lot of things like that. It is that mentality. It's I have to get you because I'm afraid that I'm going to get got.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But at some point, humanity as a whole decided the general line of this is bad, this is good.
Mm-hmm.
This hurts people. This doesn't. That should be, you know, like if I choose to steal from somebody because I need it, or I think that I have a better chance of living or whatever it might be, you know, that's still considered wrong by mm-hmm. society standards. And who decided that?
Yeah, I think at some point there had to be something worked out in order to make a civilization be able to grow past a certain point. Because, like, let's say that your tribe starts off with 20 people. 20 people is fairly manageable. You can kind of keep an eye on different people. One person, you know, starts getting out of line. They get a good flogging. Maybe they get back in line. They do something else again. It's like, all right.
Flogging.
You just get flogged.
We're going to feed them to the lions and tigers out in the wilderness. Once your civilization grows bigger and bigger, you have to start setting in these rules of, okay, because if everyone is constantly looking over their shoulder, you know, wondering who's going to try stabbing them in the back, like, I mean, if we just try imagining, well, we've talked about it multiple times, if the zombie apocalypse were to happen and therefore you can't trust anybody anymore, you're like, no, if I see somebody and I don't know you, I'm shooting you in the face. And it's like, okay, a civilization could never grow if that's the kind of distrust or hatred people have towards each other. And so at some point there has to be some kind of laws and structures in order for the civilization to be able to grow. Otherwise, people are just constantly going to be killing people more out of fear. Like with me, I am 5'8" maybe and 130 pounds. There is 0% chance that I'm going to fight clean if I ever get in a fight with someone. There is zero chance. Because I know if I try and I punch you, it's going to make you mad and you're going to kill me. You're going to stomp on my chest and break my ribs and my lungs and whatever, snap my neck. Anything like that could happen. So no, I'm out of fear. I'm going to strike harder and more deadly than what I should do just because of the fear aspect of things. So I think that rule is kind of to make sure that if there is a dickwad in the group that's going to ultimately, I mean, all it would take is a couple bad apples to put fear in people to really crumble a large, you know, or decent sized civilization. So having these rules that, hey, you step out of line, we're going to deal with you swiftly. So that way our people here feel safe and secure and happy that we can continue growing and adding more people into this, that I think that's ultimately where things started, whether, you know, what timeline that was on, no clue whatsoever.
But I think that you're talking about more like laws and structure than actual morality, because a law can say you can't speed above 35 miles an hour on this road. That doesn't make it good or bad to not do that. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not being evil if I go 50 instead of 45, you know what I'm saying? So while I agree that you need laws and structure, I don't really think that answers the morality.
Well, I think that some of those kind of go hand in hand in the very early civilizations. Like if you're talking about ours, I mean, cause like in the early civilizations, what would the laws be? It's like, don't take, you know, your neighbor's wife out of their home while they're sleeping. Don't murder their children. Don't steal their cattle. So it's like, don't steal, don't murder, don't rape.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of things that ultimately I think we still kind of have instilled deep down in us today, that those are some of the bigger things that we could see. Don't steal from people. Don't murder people. Don't rape people.
Well, my answer to that though is who decided that? Because there are still civilizations that have been like completely out of touch of technology, that there really is no sense of like husband and wife, right? Like basically they exist to make more humans. So like, you know, basically if there's a woman, she's pregnant by whoever is, you know, of age, and she has a baby. And then after that, she has another baby. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, oh, well, it's this person's wife. Like, you can't go sleep with her.
Yeah. It's not an adultery type issue or anything like that. I was speaking more on the issue of forcibly raping a person, which that, of course, was a little bit different between different societies based on women's class culture. And I mean, and that's where, you know, eventually over time, I feel like that was some of our evolution as well, where, I mean, could you imagine how you know, they felt about animals in the past, like dogs, cats, deer, whatever. And like today, you know, we see any animal hurt on the side of the road and when it's like, oh my God, my heart's breaking for this animal. Yeah. And back we then fall they're down like, on our knees. What are you talking about? Yeah. Like, you know, and so that was kind of the evolution of feelings or reclassification of different things where like now we see women on the same line as us to the point that raping one of them is a terrible, terrible thing where in the past and not too long ago, like societies were, oh no, you could do that. That's totally cool. Like she's just a woman. Like it's no big deal, dude. Like whatever. They have no rights. So that's, you know, something that I feel like has evolved a little bit.
Is so you think that that's like an evolutionary like thing as a human civilization? We're just growing in mind so we know that that's wrong? Or
I mean, because I would think like if you are imagining a woman being no better than an animal and your whole tribe and group is like okay with people just raping them, and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, no, we want women to be a part of our society. Then all of a sudden they start getting raped. Then it's like, okay, this doesn't feel the same way. Like, I don't know. To me, most of the kind of stuff that I talk about, you have feelings like inside your body when these things happen, where it's not like no one says like, you know, I don't really, I mean, I think you kind of understand what I'm saying. Like when you do something bad, like you feel bad inside, like you can tell like this is not right. But I don't think I had to have anyone tell me, hey, don't stick a knife in somebody. I think if I stuck a knife in somebody that I would go like, okay, this doesn't feel too good.
No, see, and you're saying exactly what I was getting at because, I mean, this isn't everybody's feeling, but I believe that that human morality and the very base instincts of what's good and evil are instilled in us. It's part of your soul, your spirit. You actually know inherently when you're born the difference between what's good and what's bad. What makes people happy? What makes people sad? And, you know, at a very basic level, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like you just said, like, you know, when you do something and you feel guilty about it, you know, if that thing that you did is wrong and or if it's right. And the issue is like, you know, you just said, you know, oh, maybe we're growing as a species. And I, you know, on one hand, I think that like overall, like standards have changed a lot. But like, if you think all the way back to like biblical times, you know, it wasn't like women were in every aspect or every, you know, subculture treated as, you know, subhuman. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had queens, you had royalty, you had, you know, wives that were loved by their husbands that, you know, that were mothers to many children. I mean, so we've always had this general understanding or respect for humanity as itself, but then you have these subcultures and classes where everything seems to break down. Like they're, you know, like for instance, a cannibal culture. Mm-hmm. Like their entire, you know, civilization has just been around eating other human beings, right? And it's like, where does that come from? Where's the breakdown in morality? Why is there no inherent morality inside them, inside their bodies, inside their souls that says eating a human is not right? That's wrong.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I think as from a morality standpoint, that eating a human isn't necessarily wrong. I think killing the human to eat it would be what the wrong thing would be.
What?
And so,
hold on. Josh, did you just say cannibalism's okay?
No, he's saying
it's not morally wrong. Like if you look at some of these cannibalistic like little tribes and stuff, the people that they eat are generally combating tribes. So the tribes will fight each other in war. They will take the bodies from the battlegrounds and stuff like that and bring it back and eat them. They don't want anything to go to waste. And so like eating the bodies once, I mean, they're dead. Like what do we do with them? We waste our bodies. We put them in the ground and they rot there.
And they come back to life.
All right.
Zombies.
Okay. Hold up. All right, so you and Jack are best friends. You guys get stuck in a mountain, and there's no way of getting out, but both of you are starving.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so let's just say you guys both aren't going to fight each other over each other's choice, you know, prime thighs.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because we all know that Jack's got, you know, juicier thighs than you, Josh.
Yes,
yeah.
So, but let's say Jack dies, right? Jack's mm-hmm. just gone. All right, he couldn't have any more Publix chicken wings. So that was the end of him.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, and you're just staring at those, you know, juicy tenderloins. And you're telling me that you're going to go chow down on those things.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you wouldn't if it meant surviving?
Yeah, well, and here's the thing.
Chowing down crazy? On your flesh? Keep in mind, there's no fire. This is raw flesh.
So, like, he's eating your leg. What am I just doing this like, stay alive an extra, like, day or two? Or am I talking about if I can do this over the next week, then a rescue?
You can survive.
No, you're dying. Like, there's no hope of someone rescuing you. Like, you just die.
Well, then no, of course not.
But if you feel like someone's going to rescue you, you're still going to chow down on Jack's sweet, sweet thighs.
No, if someone were going to rescue me in a week,
I would encourage
what
it.
I would have to do to survive is to eat him. Yes, I 100% would.
Mm-hmm. Bruh, man, I had some choice filet mignon yesterday. That shit went straight to my thighs. You know, probably got some nice juicy, you know, tenderloin fat right in there.
Listen, I would encourage it. As I was dying, I'd be like, bruh, you better eat me.
I better be delicious. Serve me up with some rosemary. I don't care what you find in here. You got some lizards.
I don't know why there's a lizard in an Arctic mountain, but
no, I'm just saying.
No, I would 100%. I mean, no, and I 100% agree with what he's saying. The act of eating a human, I think, is disgusting, and I think that it's probably really, really bad for you, and you probably would get all kinds of either diseases or really sick if you did it.
Who knows where?
But that's not the part that's the wrong. It's to killing the people with the intention of eating them, you know, killing somebody, you know, out of, you know, in murder or whatever. But my point is of saying that is like, they do that because that's all they know. And it's not inherently in their, you know, in their moral compass to not do that.
I mean, that's like
kill people. Yeah, and eat
but
them.
That's like been like the thing with like, you know, like Christianity and the spreading of the word type of thing. You know, if someone doesn't know who God is, like the people in Africa or whoever who don't have access to, you know, any kind of media or nobody out to come see them, then is it their fault that they didn't know who God was and they went to hell? You know, speaking at terms of the Bible, of course.
I mean, actually, if you want to get technical, the Bible says that yes, because there is that inherent knowledge of there is something out there, and if you seek the truth, you will find the answer. So like if you ask to see God, you know you'll see his face, sort of deal. And so like even the ones that haven't necessarily been preached to, so to speak, that doesn't excuse them from knowing that there is a greater power or a creator.
Yeah, but the thing is like they grew up on it, like again on like, you know, false idols or their gods or whatever.
They grew up on filet min other tribe.
Grew up on Jack's thighs. I'm just but,
so Jack, I see where you're going here, and what my thoughts on it really have to do with the way we perceive other people. And like inherently, I don't think that I would feel bad about killing somebody if I thought that they were a piece of shit. If I didn't like them and I hated their guts and they were just absolute pieces of shit, like people in war, they are able to kill the enemy combatants because of either the way they dehumanize them or because they know that if it's either I kill you or you kill me kind of situation, that they're able to do that. So there's not like a full on morality battle going on at that point as much as like you guys, the whole reason I would feel terrible of anything happening to you guys, if I were to stab you or steal from you or cheat you guys out of something or lie to you guys, because I feel a connection to you guys as friends. And so I think when we as a society have kind of built up to treat, or at least try to treat other humans as other humans, as part of the human race, and we're all here going at this together, that's where you start feeling some of that morality kick in, some of that, ooh, it doesn't feel good to do this to this person. Because like, I would think that a KKK member or whatever, if he's doing something to any other race, that they don't feel that same morality that I would feel doing that to that person. you know,
yeah.
Even though it should be something, like we said, either like kind of built down in us, but I think that it's how we feel about what it is that we're interacting with. I mean, when I was 19, I think it was 18 or 19, I went hunting. And I really didn't understand hunting much at that point. Like I was still just kind of young and dumb, and my dad wanted to take me on a hunting trip, and I went out there and I shot a hog, and like I had adrenaline pumping through me. I didn't feel one bit of remorse. I didn't like there wasn't any kind of real emotions or anything there. I've grown a lot since that point that I think that I would think about it in a very, like kind of how the Native Americans would, you know, they would almost, they
respectful.
Would
respectful.
Yeah. They would, when they kill whatever it was that they were hunting, that they would, you know, thank the animal for providing the family with nutrients or the tribe with nutrients and stuff like that. They try to use every single piece of it so nothing goes to waste because, you know, they know that it was serving a purpose and stuff like that. The way that I killed that hog and the way that a Native American that respected that animal went through that process would have been so completely different. And it was all in how we perceived what it was that we were interacting with.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I agree. While I agree with you, I think that in general, we have this, and it's a dilemma because some of us have a moral compass that seems to be set right, and then other people just seem to be completely lacking it, or they're able to completely ignore it. You know what I mean? Something, maybe they seem to, you know, put their own needs and desires above their own moral compass. And I feel like sometimes, you know, I'm sure you guys can think of times where you did something that probably wasn't considered good, but in the moment you justified it mm-hmm. by, like, you know, some sort of excuse.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm doing this because, you know, this makes me feel really good in the moment. Afterwards, you might be like, ugh, wow, that was a bad choice. But at the time, like, you put away like whatever moral compass that you have for that moment for whatever justification. And then obviously that goes to some extremes. You know, I always think of like, oh, you know, society, well, let's treat each other as humans. And you have this revolution where everybody's, you know, like the trash tag, everybody's banding together and picking up trash, and it's super awesome. And then you have the piece of shit that's driving down the street, throwing the trash out of the window.
Yeah.
While the people are picking them up, like picking the trash up. And it's like, who is this person? Right? Sees a group of people going, like getting together and cleaning up and doing something good. And they're like, here's another cup, and like throws it out. You know what I mean? Like, where is that person's compass? Like, where do they fall? And why do they think it's okay to act a certain way? I think about that every single day. Like when I see somebody do something or treating somebody a certain way, or, you know, even just like somebody driving, I always go back to my, you know, the whole, like, I just can't stand how people have, they just have no regard for other people's well-being when they drive. Like, it doesn't matter who cuts you off doing 80 miles an hour just to get two spaces ahead at the next red light. And it's like, where is that person's, not only their head, but they're like, where is their moral compass that if they would do something like that and get somebody else killed, that they'd be able to be completely fine with it? Like, they're just living with themselves like that. And then, you know, you see all of this goodness happening in the world, but at the same time, there's thousands and thousands of people that are right now robbing somebody, killing somebody, doing something terrible, right? Like, so what makes that like switch flick off? Or, you know, you watch a documentary, that the one's big in the news right now, the Netflix one with Zac Efron about Ted Bundy. Bundy.
I watched that one.
Yeah. And it's about this guy who's like super charming, right? And he's just, you know, he's good looking and he's a charmer. And then he's a serial killer and he just kills people.
Allegedly.
He has just no. God damn it.
I'm just kidding.
fucking Josh.
No, allegedly. But I'm saying, like, the point is like no moral compass, right?
Yeah.
He just has, there's just nothing in there. The soul is black. It's gone. Because there's just, you know, he just looks at the people in the eyes, smiles, seduces them, and then kills them. And it's like, wait.
Yeah. That, you know, it's one of the, something that I've wanted to really learn more about. There's a scientist, Dr. Robert Sapolsky, I think is his name, that when he was asked, what do you think the future humans are going to look back on today, humans, and see kind of like how we can look back 100 years ago and go like, wow, everyone was really screwed up. I can't believe they didn't realize this one easy little problem. And he's like, you know, what are the people 100, 200 years from us going to look back at us and think? And he's like, basically they're going to think that it's asinine the way that we're treating people and putting them in prison. He's like, the issues that a lot of these people have are full-on brain issues. Like, there's something fucked up in their head that their brain doesn't work the same way as other people. I mean, we can easily look at that with someone like Ted Bundy. We can look at that and go, that dude's not fucking normal. Like, people shouldn't be able to do that. Like, you shouldn't be able to do that kind of thing to a person and then come home to your wife and kid and act like everything's normal. Like, that shouldn't be able to happen. But it did with him. And we're like, okay, well, we don't know what to fucking do with you. What you did was really bad, so we're just going to kill you. Like, because we have no idea what – I mean, the brain is so in-depth and complex that it could be that this one wire is swapped, and that's why he's like, oh, well, I'm going to turn right when everyone's turning left. And we don't know how to go in and fix that problem. I mean, people have been trying it for years, putting people in mental institutions, giving them all kinds of drugs, lobotomizing people. I mean, taking out like parts of their brain, going, okay, I think this is the part of the brain that's making you all fucked up. Let's take it out. And then the people just turn into zombies. It's like, all right, we fixed them. You know, but so there's stuff inside the brain, I think, that is messing with people in some sort of way that we just have no real understanding of how it works. We just kind of see it happen and we're like, oh, that's really fucking bad. I hate you. When it's, you know, it's hard to know what is the person actually doing and how much is there like an actual issue with that person. I mean, if I watch a lot of stuff like that Ted Bundy thing. Did you guys watch, what was it, Mindhunters? Was the other one on Netflix? Where it was like they were interviewing lots of different serial killers and stuff like that. That show was freaking awesome, you know, and they're sitting down with these serial killers and these guys are talking about the stuff like, yeah, it's no big deal. Like, I just went and I snapped her head and, you know, her neck off and, you know.
Yeah, it's no big deal. Like,
it's no big deal.
No big deal. I just do it and it's cool, whatever, you know. And it's and we just could all look at that and go, the reason the show's so interesting is because we see that and our jaw drops to the floor that how can a person act this way? And it's, I don't think that you can just go, I'm going to be so wrong. I mean, like we see those people that are like, I'm just going to be evil and wrong and do the wrong things. And those kind of people are almost like, you know, the people in gangs that are shooting people on the street, doing stuff for money and things. And then you have like your psychopaths that just don't have like they're you put them on like, you know, testing out like what part of their brain's turning on when they're seeing different images and just like nothing's happening. It's like, okay, you should be reacting this way and it's not. And that's, I think, the scariest thing of it all.
But I guess that goes to my question then too, is like, you know, are you saying that, for instance, somebody like that who, yeah, there's definitely something wrong in their brain, something wrong in their soul. What are you suggesting that they do with them? If, you know, mental institution, medicine, things like that don't work, they've already committed, you know, a numerous amount of crimes. Mm-hmm. They're you know, inherently evil per se because of whatever is going on. I mean, are you saying like, oh, well, they shouldn't be put to death? Somebody that can just commit a heinous murder without any remorse? Like, should they not be?
No, and I have a – there's a lot of different points in this. Number one, I think that we need major, major, major prison reform. Like that kind of stuff, that's a whole podcast topic that I could talk about.
Sure.
Like I have a degree in criminal justice, so I spend a lot of time on this kind of stuff, and it drives me nuts. But I think more – with this kind of thing is, so like right now, it is perfectly legal for me to go out there, buy a pack of cigarettes and smoke them. Okay. It is legal for me to do. I am 34 years old. I can go and do it. And there is no problem with that whatsoever. But I know it's not the right thing to do for me personally, for my health or for my family in the long run. So I choose not to do it. Even though in my head, there's nothing saying, hey, this is morally wrong. You shouldn't do this. I mean, in my head, when I think back to cigarettes, I go, oh my God, they're so delicious. I want one right now. I want to stop the podcast and go get a pack. Like, that's the,
oh my God.
So you have like these so cravings delicious. In you, but it's not only cigarettes. Think of all the other cravings that we have for things that aren't illegal, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, we as a human society also have to tell ourselves, we have to practice self-restraint. So even if these people don't have a compass telling them that this thing is wrong to do, we still have laws in place that are telling them, hey, please don't do this, you know, or if you do, we will have to kill you. Like that is already set forth. So just because these people don't have, you know, something that's making their stomach feel bad when they're hurting somebody doesn't mean that there shouldn't be consequences to them doing it, because we have it set forth in our laws right now. It's like, hey, if you want to participate in our society, you have to follow by these guidelines. If you don't, then fucking go off in the Amazon wilderness and you may be able to get away with killing people and raping people the rest of your life because you're a jungle man. I don't know. But if you want to live in the city of Tampa, like, you can't be that person or you're going to get shot dead in the street. Like, there are consequences.
Don't come around my way.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I kind of feel like that comes from, is just because it either, you know, isn't wrong or is wrong or whatever, or even if you don't have something inside your head telling you shouldn't do something, doesn't mean that you can't follow by normal guidelines, if that makes sense. Yeah.
No, I understand. I just, I think that you didn't answer my question, because I don't know I still don't know what you,
okay,
what you're projecting to do with a person like Ted Bundy.
Well, like I said,
you're saying there needs to be consequences, mm-hmm, but you also said, like, do we just need to kill somebody because their brain is messed up?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a double-edged thing. We have to continuously do research until we can actually know what's going on inside a person's head like that. But at the same time, if you have a person like Ted Bundy that is raping and killing people, we've already said, hey, that's a no-no. Don't do that. And they're still doing it. It's like, all right, well, you know, we told you don't do it. So
yeah, but something like that, that's a heinous, evil thing. There is no like slap on the wrist. Like,
no,
like you said, you know, ahead of time that it's wrong. And even if you don't have a moral compass, you know that it's wrong via the laws of the country. And then on top of that, if you still choose to do it, it's like, yeah, maybe something is messed up in your head, but like, sorry, friend, you can't just, you know, murder somebody and get away with it and say, yeah, don't do that again.
Yeah. So let's say in his situation, if Ted Bundy, because you have to think of how many different paths he had to take in his life in order to get to that point that he was at the first time that he killed somebody. There were a lot of different paths that he had to take to get there. That there has to be some sort of way for a person that's going along that path that goes, okay, if I continue along this path, I'm going to get to a really fucked up state. I'm going to end up hurting somebody. I'm going to end up hurting myself, whatever it is. I need to be able to stop this if I want to continue on in this society. Who can I reach out to for help? You know, if Ted Bundy, before he had committed that first murder, was able to reach out to someone, I mean, and that's where I feel like we're lacking as a society, is, and people to be able to help someone like in his situation. If he could go to someone and go, hey, look, I want
to murder people,
and I don't feel like it's a bad thing. They're going to be like, oh shit, throw this guy in jail. Like, what do we do with him? You know, instead of them being able to compassionately go, okay, we understand that there's something wrong with you. We want to be able to help you out. Let's see
what are you going to do? I mean, you can be, you know, compassionate and help him, but like, you're still going to lock him up, because like, what are the chances? Like, as soon as he says that, like, what if you can't really help him? What if he just goes and he's like, yeah, I wanted to do that, so I did.
Well, and that's what I'm saying, like, with the Sapolsky quote was basically, what are humans 100 or 200 years down the line going to say to this thing? Because this is something that's going to have to progress over time. And we're just now, within the past probably 100 years, being able to actually study the human brain in any sort of capacity. I mean, think back to the 1700s, back when, they didn't know what the hell they were doing back then. Like, when we started, wrote the Declaration of Independence, so they had no idea what was going on in the human body. Like, no fucking clue what any of these organs were actually doing and like what the brain was going on and stuff. So this is all very, very new to us. You know, before it was just like, oh, this person's doing this, they're a fucking witch, burn them, drown them. Like, we're going to dip you in water, and if you drown, you're not a witch. So we'll see how this goes. Like, they're just like, they were crazy with this shit back then. And now I think we're starting to learn. We're starting to move in the right direction, but it still is just such a mess, because I do think that there's so many people out there that just have some wires crossed, that they aren't like us, but we don't know enough on how to help them that. Yeah. The only thing that we know how to do is to fucking lock them up, because we're scared. We're scared of our own life, or our family's lives, or kids, or wives, whatever.
Yeah. Luch, what about you? You've been generally quiet.
I've been talking a lot, too.
I mean, yeah, Jessica's on that. Well, ask me a question so I can go based off Josh's things instead of just basing it off what he's saying.
Okay, so again, let's take it back to... and
the question that you want answered.
Yeah, so the question that I want answered is, somebody like Ted Bundy that has no moral compass, right? Mm-hmm. And we're saying it's not just a lack of morality, but it's like something chemically wrong in their brain that has them like with no soul to feel remorse for the things that we generally view as evil. So what do you do with somebody like that? So this goes back to like the Superman complex. Like, yeah, Ted Bundy, for example, he doesn't have unlimited power. But he's choosing to live his life evilly, or he did, right? To make the wrong choices. So, ultimately he was executed, right?
Yeah.
So, as a society, we choose to execute him, just like Lex Luthor is trying to get rid of Superman. I realize that I'm comparing Superman to Ted Bundy, and that's not the analogy that I'm trying to make. But the point is that what I'm saying is, when you have this moral dilemma, now how do you as a society make the moral choice to end somebody else's life and consider that a good thing because of the choices that they have made?
Okay. Well, is the question is, should we morally kill someone for that reason? Or is the question, what do we do?
A little bit of column A, a little column B. I mean, what do you do in that situation? I mean, even at the very bare bones, you have to make them so they can't hurt anybody. So you lock them up. But then at the end of the day, like, does that mean that the person got to get away with murder? Literally.
Yeah.
And so, not be murdered themselves.
So the only thing I can say to that would be, I don't think anybody should die based on, because then someone can play the system. A person can determine who, deserves to die and who doesn't deserve to die based on a chemical imbalance in their brain.
The God complex again. Yeah. We're back to the Superman complex.
So, and then it just turns into a big loop. Now, and again, there goes the statement, which I, wholeheartedly agree with, innocent until proven guilty. I feel like, well, yes, sometimes it doesn't work out, but most of the time I feel like, if someone who, didn't commit a crime, they, have that right. And do I believe that they should be killed? One, I believe it would be dependent on the crime, but two, I believe there should be a place for them.
Whole island of criminals.
Preferably a place without any sharp objects.
What if you just dumped them all on an island and then they just got to battle royale them like against them each other?
No, but then again, like, you could research that kind of stuff. Like, research.
Yeah, and make it into a TV show.
Oh, my God.
And, like, watch them just battle royale it, Just this warning. This
okay, TV we all know we graphic. All know what you want, okay? We're talking about them for a second. Jack just goes, cuddles up with his girl, for a Sunday night and watches, You know, it's like Lost or like Survivor, but instead it's criminals, literally.
Yeah.
Battle Royale. Just
murdering each other. No, but my point is like, you know, and it exactly goes back to the Superman complex of like, mm-hmm. when you are given the tools to actually mark the line of morality for yourselves and mm-hmm. say, this is the law. If you disobey it, you are, you know, the extreme, you're murdered, you know, the minimum, you're shunned from society, et cetera. Whenever you're given the tools to do that, how do you morally justify the decisions that are made? Like I said, you know, so you have a society and you say, don't murder people, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And a guy murders somebody, takes somebody's life. They're no longer in this world. You lost them. They're dead. Mm-hmm. So is it not justice to then take the person's life that did it? Or does that make you now culpable for a murder of your own? And that person gets to be
excommunicated, okay.
So, or, you know, whatever it might be.
So I also believe in the saying, you know, kill one to save a thousand type scenario too. So, I mean, I can't justify it, but again, if someone killed someone in cold-blooded murder, that person deserves to go. So,
so I don't know. I mean,
like, they had their chance. They blew their chance. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like murder is just one of those things. Now, obviously, you know, there's, you know, manslaughter, you know, done on accident.
Well, all that's kinds what of I was going to say. There are a lot of different classifications when it comes to mm-hmm. murder.
I'm talking, Josh, I came over to your house and I was like, bruh, that luchador costume you wore last year, man, I didn't feel it. And I smacked you upside the head with a sledgehammer. Right. And then I come home and I go to D&D night, you know, my face is all bloody and the guys are like, dude, what happened? He's like, oh man, I just murdered Josh. Really pissed me off with that luchador costume. You know, Jack Caleb would probably, you know, choke me out and then I'd, you know, beat the crap out of me on the ground. And then Jack would, you know, have Zyra just maul at my face. But, it, you know, it's like, there's no excuse for that. Like there's no, oh dude, it's okay. I had a chemical imbalance in my brain.
Well, that's my point is like, so, you know, is it a life for a life or, but are that you then responsible? And I don't know that we're going to like necessarily mm-hmm. get a resolution or an answer from that because it does depend on the situation, but it's very tough because if you murder somebody for murdering somebody else, do you morally feel bad about it? Or do you feel like, okay, justice was served because that person deserved it. But then again, you still took somebody's life regardless of,
I think that's, you know, a very like person to person basis. And that's why you'll see people that will come home from war and some seem to be okay. And others seem to be fucked up. Cause you know, even though like they're fighting the same battle, they're American soldiers fighting the same war, going through a lot of the same experiences, some will come home and be okay with some of the stuff that they've done. And other ones will be like, I don't fucking like what I am now because of the things that I did. And I did these things under order. I did these things to people that were trying to hurt me. I did, you know, whatever it may be, but they, you know, so each person is going to feel a little bit differently when it comes to that stuff. I think as a society, because of what we understand of humans right now, it's very easy for us to look at someone like Ted Bundy and say he was an evil, evil motherfucker. Like, I don't feel even the slightest bit bad that we killed him.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, like, what if we were to find out, you know, new evidence that he was taking some kind of stop smoking drug and that drug just completely turned off his moral compass altogether. And you could give that drug to anybody and they would immediately turn into Ted Bundy. You know, like at that point you would have to take a step back and go, well, shit, was he a really bad person or now was it this drug that's doing it? Okay. And so let's take the drug out and let's just say he had an issue with his brain. Like, was he really just trying to be a piece of shit? Was he trying to hurt people, or was his brain just, was he mentally retarded? And
does it just not matter though? You know, that's like my thing is like, it doesn't matter. Like if he's mentally unstable or generally evil, when you go down that line and the morality issue is gone, like, cause you've done something that's literally morally not right, then it doesn't matter what the reason is, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you're evil. It doesn't matter if you're...
It does, you know, though. That's what I'm trying to say. No. Well, think about it like this. Let's say that you have a kid with Down syndrome who everything with him is a little bit slower, and he punches the fuck out of some other kid and accidentally kills him. He 100%, we're going to take into account that that kid has some type of mental retardation, and something happened that... You know, he's not going to be treated like a functioning adult. The problem with someone like Ted Bundy is he appeared in all ways to be a normal functioning piece of society, but then he did these other shitty things. We don't see, there's no visible retardation with his body. There's nothing that causes him not to be able to go to work or do these other things. It's only in that one particular area. And that's something that we don't understand enough now,
but like, we're arguing semantics of motive. I mean, if a somebody that has an actual the mental illness, right, accidentally does something out of anger because they can't control themselves, that's a little different than premeditated murder. If that same person with mental illness is going around stomping people with their fists over and over and over again on purpose, I mean, that person falls under the same category as somebody who doesn't have a mental illness and goes around murdering people. Like, it's the same. I don't think that you can take them apart just because, you know, there's something chemically unstable. My point is with that is, you know, say somebody like Ted Bundy does have a clinical mental illness and he murders somebody. Like that doesn't just be like, all right, he has a mental illness.
It doesn't stop. Like, pop culture reference, like Mike Myers, like best one. Michael Myers. Dude had huge chemical imbalance. Bro was like a zombie monster. And that guy didn't even matter. You know, he'd go back into an institution, he'd wake up and be like, nah, man, take a scalpel, boom, there goes nurse. Like three times in a row. Like, they think to keep scalpels out of that guy's freaking room. And just go back to the same place and start killing people. Like, it chemical imbalance, like, I get it. Like, you know, that's situational type things. But if they killed someone, it'll more than likely happen again.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I'm not one.
And they'll
not
find a way to
excusing
do
their actions. I'm not saying that we should just go, they're just fucked up in the head, let them back out on the street or anything like that. I'm just saying that. And I feel like we've gotten off topic a little bit with it, but you know, it's that more research has to be done before condemning the person underneath for all the actions that were done. What I'm trying to say there. Like, I'm not saying that someone like Ted Bundy shouldn't be locked up and kept away from society so he can't hurt anybody. I completely agree with that. But if there was some way to be able to treat him and successfully treat him, like, we could, when he killed the first person, that we gave him a pill and that pill made him normal, and we could set him off on the street and he never killed a person again for the rest of his life.
No, I don't think that kind of change should ever happen to anybody.
100% no.
No.
Well, that's the thing. I think what you need to do is look at it a little bit more personally. Maybe you're looking at it from too broad of a statement.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it from the wrong end. Like, bro, that chemically imbalanced person just murdered your child.
Yeah, what if it's personal, right? What if it's they murder somebody that you love? Are you still going to have that same, like, generally compassionate outlook towards that person? Your moral compass is going to say, yeah, maybe it's just something wrong with him. He should maybe be checked out a little bit more.
Oh, and before we decide. Like, if you're personally going through a situation like that, you're not going to think about things logically. But here we are. We're trying to have a logical discussion about this. And so what I'm saying is, you have a person who with this mental disorder kill somebody, you can give them a pill and 100% chance they are not going to hurt another person the rest of their life that they're...
It doesn't matter, I'm saying it's hypothetically.
They are not going to hurt anyone else for the rest of the time that they're alive. Should a person like that be executed or have to spend the rest of their life in prison for something that you know 100% they had no control over?
It doesn't matter. They still did it.
Yeah, because then how do you know that person isn't going there? First of all, there's no way to properly read that chemical imbalance 100%.
No,
second of all, there
will
never, ever be a way to fix that kind of scenario. And even if they did, were able to get resolved of that, they should never be allowed on the streets again.
No, I mean, for the even if they're 100%
with you guys.
Well, listen, even if they're 100% fixed. Right. You come up with a serum that fixes their brain and they realize, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. That's, you know, that was so morally wrong, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't take away what they did. And they should, by all rights and purposes, have to spend the rest of their life, at the very least, behind bars.
So I'm getting very nerdy. We're going to go down the nerdy tunnel here. With what happened with Hawkeye in the Avengers movie, when he gets mind controlled by the Tesseract and does something heinous, hurts innocent people. And now all of a sudden he's not mind control again. He's going about society. He's like, man, I was under Loki's spell, under the Tesseract. Like, I didn't actually hurt anybody. That was that mind control. That's what I'm saying, how we need to picture a chemical imbalance or something wrong with someone in their head. It could be that exact same kind of situation. Like, yes, they're not technically being mind controlled, but they could have wires in their brain crossed to the point that that's exactly what it's like to them. That once they get that situation fixed in their head, either through surgery or a pill or whatever rehab of some sort, that they're able to get that stuff fixed. I mean, we don't look at Hawkeye and go, Hawkeye, you're a piece of shit, you know?
No, of course not. Because ultimately somebody paid for those lives. It wasn't Hawkeye, it was Loki, and Loki had to answer for his war crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's why he got arrested. That's why he was in jail. That's why he was locked up in Asgard.
For people that are born with shit wrong with their brain.
I mean, you can't. That's why they don't get to be on the street again.
So just because a person is born with a mental retardation, they should have to spend their whole life in prison or be executed
if they murder somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not talking about if they have any kind of thing that immediately just send them away. Absolutely not.
Well,
there are plenty of successful people who have, you know, something wrong with their head that doesn't make them function normally.
I'm talking about when they, you know, if they commit a murder, if they commit something that's terrible, like it doesn't, no matter what fixes them, no matter what happens to them after that, it doesn't bring back the life that was
like
taken.
They watch Game of Thrones and they think Ramsay is the coolest person, so they go up and flay a person in their basement.
Well, and
he had a cold one day.
No, I think
he's better now.
I think you guys are being 100% hypocritical if you can forgive Hawkeye for what he did, but you couldn't forgive a person who had a mental retardation.
He was controlled by a literal.
Oh my God. What are you talking about? We're talking about somebody who's being mind controlled by somebody else, and that person is the one that you ultimately are like, oh, I can't believe he did that. You don't look at Hawkeye and go, wow, you murdered that kid. You go, Loki, I can't believe you made Hawkeye murder that kid.
Well, exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so it's not Hawkeye's fault.
Well, then who do you point the blame at for giving a baby a fucked up brain who makes them where they can't function correctly in society? I'm not saying that all bad guys should be like treated like little lambs or anything like that. But I'm saying, if let's say that Ted Bundy killed people and we took him into some kind of study and go, holy shit, look at his fucking brain. This kid was born just wires all kind of fucked up and everything. And it's, I mean, to me, like, I can see how that's hand in hand with a type of mind control. Like, your brain, you can easily take a drug and it makes your brain do things that it normally wouldn't do. So how can we not imagine that a person could be born with a brain that makes them do something that is completely out of normal character, completely wrong, have no moral compass or whatever? They could have something wrong with them that was no option to them. Just the same.
Gosh, you're not thinking about the consequence. Hold on. Mm-hmm. you're not thinking about the consequences outside of just that too. Okay, so guy with a who's insane, has a chemical imbalance in his head, straight up murder someone brutally, right? Mm-hmm. Not personal, not nothing. He wanted to see blood. That's it, mm-hmm. right? Beat the kid up in the street, smashed his head and whatever, right? Parents see this shit happen. Call the police. They're going out. The kid gets, you know, arrested, taken in. They cure him completely, mm-hmm. right? He is good to go. And the kid gets set free on his new adventure to life. And then you see the parents of that kid who got his head smashed in with their jaws just dropped wide open. And you want to know what that dad's probably going to do to that kid once he walks out on that street? He's going to pull a fucking Batman and just shoot him right in the middle of everybody. Because that is completely and 100% unfair.
And then the dad would go to jail for murdering that criminal.
And that's the thing. I think that the fix to people's brains is so out of the realm of our understanding at this point that it seems like magic, that we can't understand it. I think once we get to the point where we could cure someone like that, that people will have more understanding and more compassion for it. I mean, think of the way that we treated people with mental retardations in the past. We treated them like fucking animals, like dogs, because we didn't understand that they just had something wrong with their brain. Like people that had epileptic seizures, we thought were demon possessed, and we used to burn them alive. Like that kind of thing. And like now we look back at that and go, oh my God, a person that has epilepsy, we burned them alive. Like we had never.
You are literally, like we are talking about someone mm-hmm. who just straight up kills someone
because they are retarded.
It does not matter.
It 100% it really matters. Doesn't. I'm it telling you, not. If you can you forgive looking, Hawkeye, then you are a hypocrite and I'm done discussing it. We'll have to move on.
Bro, you are literally giving them a literally skip the jail free pass.
Yeah, no. It's a free pass. Yeah, you are. You're saying you are that they can be fixed. They can be put back on the street because they're fixed in their brains. But it doesn't matter because like the consequences have already been done. What if Thanos turns out to be mentally ill and he just snapped half the world, half the universe's population? But he just turned out to be. Oh, the Avengers, like, they get together, they go to they find out where he is, and they go there, and he's just like, guys, I'm good now, but, like, last week, I was having a bit of an episode, and it says right here, doctor's note, I'm cured. Yeah. Sorry about that.
But Josh, like, what I'm also trying to say is, let's say there was a huge chemical imbalance, that person murdered that kid, mm-hmm. they do not get the chance to walk away free. If they get cured, great. Maybe there can be an institution for those who had a chemical imbalance, was completely cured, and now they're normal people and get to live with their regret in maybe a nicer facility. Mm-hmm. But that's it. They do not get to walk scot-free.
Yeah, I mean, it does not bring back the person that was taken. It does not bring back the guy who is just walking down the street living his life.
Yeah, and I understand. And I would definitely say because, I mean, and this is such hypothetical stuff that we're talking about here that, of course, like once a situation, like if it ever came to that point that you would start being able to see flaws in the system. Like, yes, saying that someone like scot-free. So this guy kills a person, walks into a facility. They go, oh, yep, you did have something wrong with you. Beep, beep, beep. And yep, you're fixed. Walk back on the street. No, being able to do something like that, I do think.
That would literally cause chaos and rioting in the entire world. Like that, it would. I like, think you would if literally, it
happens tomorrow, yes. I think and just it's think a about gradual it, think about change the over the next 100, hold, 200 hold years. That
Here, no. Here's the big thing with this, Josh, too. If they can take out that chemical imbalance, someone can put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Then that gives criminals, serial killers, literally like, all right, give me 1 second. All right, cool. I just gave myself a chemical imbalance.
Yeah.
I'm going to go murder that school.
No, and here now we are. We are going down a different road of something that I haven't thought about in the past. But what I'm mainly saying is that I feel like if someone is born with something in them that is just completely out of anything that they've done, out of like, I mean, we even 50-50 nurture nature. If we are saying the 50% nature part of the way that this person was born was just fucked up, and that's why something happened down the line, I do think that there needs to be some sort of compassion that we look at this person with instead of just like, you're a piece of shit because you did these things. When it's like, we don't understand enough about why humans do what they do and why the brain controls us in the way that it does, to be able to just completely condemn a person for something that may be outside of their control.
I don't know. I think that, like, that's the thing, is like, compassion is one thing, and you can have compassion. You can have compassion on somebody and still deal out consequences for their actions. You can act in love, but still deal out, you know, the unfortunate, you know, benefits to whatever bad thing that, you know, happened. The person that commits the murder has a chemical imbalance. You know, I can have compassion on them and still make them understand that what they did, whether it was their fault or not their fault, still has to be answered for. Somebody has to answer for it, whether it's them or somebody else. It doesn't matter. I mean, and at the end of the day, there isn't anybody else that's going to stand in their place. They did something, whether it wasn't what their fault or not. I mean, it's like the guy who gets, you know, drinks all night and gets in his car and, you know, accidentally runs somebody over.
Mm-hmm.
He made the choice to drive while impaired.
Yeah.
He might not remember it because he was so impaired. He may not remember driving because he was so impaired, but he did that. He now has to live with that. He might not even remember the steps that he took to get in the car, to choose to drive home. But because somebody else lost their life, he has to then face the consequences.
Yes. And I think there's a huge difference between the two, though. Because one, you're talking about a person that had a choice
voluntary,
to drink,
sure,
and a baby okay. that's born with something wrong, and even with what I'm saying as far as this, because I'm you know me, I like to go to the extremes on these kind of situations. I'm mainly talking about, because we've talked about, there are lots of different areas for, you know, crimes, murders, whatever, where it could be like, oh, you're sleeping with my wife, I'm gonna kill you and my wife, and then murder myself, like. Out of crimes of passion, then you have like manslaughter, or you have like, I got drunk, yes, and I had my inhibitions lower and I fought someone. Like, yeah, there are different areas that you could see stuff like that. And then there's also, like I said, if there were a type of situation, because I mean, who knows? Ted Bundy, maybe he just was a piece of shit. Maybe he had a moral compass and he was just able to turn it off, you know? But what I'm talking about is in a situation with someone born with some kind of disability outside of their control, if we were able to really look and see that, like if we got to it a way as a society and we go, okay, out of these 24 chromosomes, if this one right here is blue instead of green like it should normally be, that person has a 100% chance that they're going to kill someone by the age of 25. Then at that point, like, we're going to start making some changes in the society. We're going to start testing for that kind of DNA. We're going to start looking for it and those different type of things. And it's like, okay, well, we didn't get a chance to test this person in time. He's been sitting in prison for 40 years for a murder that he committed when he was younger. And it's like, if we would have known this kind of technology now, could we have helped this person in the long run? You know, there's different kind of questions and conundrums that come up like that. And I understand that we always feel like if there's something bad that happens to someone, we do want to punish somebody. I'm just saying that there is a possibility that there could be times where there is no one to punish for some of the things that are going on there. I mean, we look at when a baby gets cancer and dies by the age of two, it's like you want to be mad at somebody. You want to hate someone for the unjust thing that happened to that baby. The parents are mad, they're angry, they're hurting for that, but there's no one to blame there. Like, who do you go after? You can't get mad at the doctors. They did everything that they could. Like, everyone feels like they were unjustly hurt by something that happened biologically in nature.
It's not about somebody's fault though, even. It's about somebody has to pay for the consequences of what happened.
Who pays for the consequence of a baby dying of cancer?
Well, I mean, the baby's gone, so the parents are reaping the consequences of that.
Yeah, and they're having to deal with that. And I'm saying, so right. Imagine a kid who's born with a disability that makes them have no problem killing people and whatever. I mean, like the situation, hypothetically, there's had to be like a million different things right for my scenario to work. And I understand that. And that's why I'm trying to, like said, work on the kind of extreme situation here. But it's like, I mean, you almost have to think about that as a virus, as a cancer, okay, that needs a type of cure rather than like a punishment. But I don't know. Like I said, I think that what I'm talking about is something that is a very, very extreme hypothetical situation. Cause we none of us are neuroscientists. We don't understand this stuff whatsoever.
Speak for yourself.
Like, you know, that, and I mean, and who knows, this may never come up, that we may throughout history, we may grow and go, you know what? People are just pieces of shit, that everyone's brain's kind of the same, maybe a little bit different. We have different likes and dislikes and stuff like that. Some people are more prone to being assholes, but and all, like, that's just what it is. That may be the way that things are. I'm just saying, in the kind of one in a million scenario, that someone's born with something that, you know, that is completely out of their control, that having some kind of compassion towards that.
Like I said, compassion is fine. Compassion is fine. Understanding is fine. Even telling them, we realize this wasn't your fault, is fine. They still cannot and should not be allowed to walk free while the family and friends of the person that they murdered has to mourn and realize that the person got away with it. Does not matter.
Agree to disagree.
Anyway, so let's move on. We're going to move to the last little part here. I want to know, mm-hmm. Would you be good?
Yes.
Or evil?
Oh.
If you had Superman's powers.
You don't need to answer that, Jack. We all know.
Wait, who? Me?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is your problem?
So this is when the good
race his name first on the list.
Dilemma, you know, or we would have to figure out where the good and bad needle was kind of
no playing. You get to decide. That's the whole point of being Superman. You decide where the needle is.
Well, no, because if all of a sudden I'm Superman and I start going, hey, you know what, since I'm Superman, I'm making a new law, and it says that it's cool to bang any chick that I want, even if she says no, there's no such thing as rape anymore, people are still gonna go, hey, you're a fucking asshole, you shouldn't do that anymore. Like,
yeah, that doesn't matter, because like, you have ultimate power, so you can just do what you want.
And I could do that, but I wouldn't necessarily say that that's redefining what good is.
No, but you would be evil then.
Yes, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Right. But finding like where that line of you know,
you're faster than a speeding bullet. They wouldn't even notice.
True. Yeah. But I think me, for one, I would be good for the most part, like 95% of the way. Well, just kind of think about it. Like, you know, for the most part, anyone that I could, I'd be helping out people and stuff like that. But then you'd have that dick that would throw a piece of trash out of his car window, and it's like, before you know it, you're fast enough to get to his car window and just literally poke his eyeballs out with your thumbs like the Mountain, and then
oh my god.
Ah, shit, that was probably a little bit much.
All right, so Josh
was a little much. He's evil. We determined 98% evil. I mean, I was gonna say, you see it, him throwing the junk out, and you fly up to him and then turn it over so it flies back into the car and dumps all over him.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
that's what I'm saying too.
That teaches them not to litter.
Yeah. Well, either littering or someone cuts you off and you just had it and you smack their car and it flies off the highway into the woods.
I mean, I would just red eye laser their tires so they got a flat tire, but I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, Josh, damn.
All right. So Josh is evil, determined. What about you, Luch?
I'd be neutral, chaotic neutral.
Okay. What does that mean?
So I don't know why, but I get a real kick out of helping people.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You don't know why? That's a good thing. That's a,
I don't know. I get a kick out of helping people. Don't know why I work for AT&T. you know, it's like, I'd just be good. I'd be a pansy.
You'd just be good.
I would be that guy who'd be like, oh my God, Luch man, help us. Okay.
oh my God, Luch Man, thank you so much. Hey, can you do this for me now? Okay.
Just constantly just doing stuff for everybody. You just never get any rest. You're like, yeah, yeah, okay.
And then I would turn all right. evil.
All right, so Josh evil, Luch evil, confirmed. I would be the Superman of all Supermen because I like the spotlight. I like to be in the spotlight. Oh, so I would like to have like all the, I would like have like to have all the giant Superman statues and the Superman like logo everywhere, and I would just like stand with my arms, you know, the Superman pose at the top of all the tall buildings and saving everybody, and you know.
Could we get another hero, please?
I would be 100% good. And that's I would end all wars. I would get rid of all evil dictators. There would be peace on Earth.
Well, and so here's where I feel like the moral compass between what is actually good and evil gets a little squirrely is depending on how long you live. Where I feel like with someone, so let's say that you live the normal human lifespan. Mm-hmm. You know, we even see this kind of stuff if you look at characters in the Marvel Universe, some that when they're young, like Spider-Man, they see things as more friendly neighborhood. I'm going to stop this robber. They do things good on a small local level until situation with the Avengers and stuff like that, that they have to go into something bigger. But for the most part, like their story revolves around, like a lot of their stuff has to deal with things right around them. And then as they grow older, that they're, you know, they start thinking of things more in a global capacity. Then you get into beings like Thanos that they're, I mean, I don't know what his age is or what his lifespan is or anything like that, but it seems to be quite significant to the point that what happens in the entire universe matters to him, where he's like, I don't care about that small little New York City that's this tiny little place on a tiny little planet in this tiny little universe when we have all these universes that we're dealing with or whatever. He's like, this is what I'm doing in the good for this area. So like, I mean, that's how Thanos, if you ask him if he's a good guy or a bad guy, would say what Jack's saying. I'm the goodest of the good guys. I just saved,
I'm the goodest,
you know, everybody. Like, yes, I had to get rid of some people, but I saved everybody else is going to be able to grow and flourish and stuff like that because I did this thing and I made a sacrifice. Like, it nearly killed me to do what I did, and I still did it for you guys.
That's okay, Josh. Yeah. That's okay. He just had a chemical imbalance. We should forgive him. He killed half the universe, but we should forgive him.
Is like in that kind of aspect, though. Like, it depends on what scale that you're looking at things. And even from the aspect of what you were saying and what we're talking about with Superman, I mean, we look at Captain America saying that Captain America was the, you know, the good of the good. As far as like all the Avengers go, he was like
the goodest boy.
Yeah, he was the goody two shoes guy. But even him, he fought with the Americans in a war. Like, he was fighting for America. Therefore, he was fighting under the good guidelines of what America stood for and not what any of these other countries. Like, didn't matter if they thought that they were doing good. He was only concerned with
America. I mean, to be fair, he was fighting the Nazis, and the Nazis are like, yes, you know, evil, so it's fine.
No, and you know my love for Captain America, so I am not bad mouthing him whatsoever. I'm just saying that if we are talking about, you know, what we started off talking about here is you, once you have this amount of power, it's like, who gives you the right to say what is good and what's evil? Because, yeah, I agree with you 100% that no, I would be, if I had those kind of powers, I think it would be overwhelmingly want to do good for everybody. But I think that when we look at things like, even, I mean, like, look at all these different sci-fi. If we look at the sci-fi artificial intelligence and stuff like that, where they think of good and evil in logical kind of ways, where they're like, okay, what's going to be best for the human society? Which one was it? iRobot, the one with Will Smith, where the robots were like,
yes,
our main objective is to save the humans. And we found out that what's hurting the humans the most is the humans. So we have to get rid of all of them. It's like, you know, at that point, they're thinking about good in a very logical standpoint compared to the belly guttural thing of good and evil that we kind of...
No, that's the Thanos theory. The iRobot is the same as Thanos. Thanos looks at the human race and goes, they're killing each other because there's too many of them. There's not enough resources, so I'm going to kill half of them to let the other half live in harmony.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the thing, we see that same kind of thing happening over and over again. So I think, you know, even in your standpoint of, let's say that you gain the powers of Superman, but you have them for 10 years, then yeah, I say it would be very easy to stay. I wouldn't say very easy. You're still going to have some temptations with things, but
if I only had it for 10 years, you best believe by the end of that 10 years, I'd be the richest dude on the planet.
Yeah. But you would also do a lot of good things and stuff like that. You probably wouldn't have to deal with the conundrum of what Thanos was dealing with, unless things got kind of pushed to that brink and maybe dealing with as many political wars and things that you're having to deal with. I mean, like I said, as Superman, like, you're constantly, every single day that you wake up, you're dealing with people on Earth killing each other. And you're having to go, okay, like, I mean, he has to just let people die constantly just because he doesn't have enough time to go around and save everyone because there's too many stupid people in this world. So he eventually has to go, like, okay, but does that make him evil that he's not saving everybody? That he gets to choose, hey, I'm going to save Lois Lane because she got herself in trouble again, instead of saving this school bus that crashed down in, you know, bumblefuck Alabama or whatever, that 10 kids died. Well,
let's be honest. The one that the crash in Alabama, that's, I mean,
yeah. I mean, come on. But I mean, you see what I'm saying though, with that kind of thing, like, he's, you know, choosing someone like Lois Lane, one person who's falling off a building, compared to anywhere else in the world, there's all these people dying from all these random accidents and stuff like that. You can't be everywhere at once. So if you choose to save one person over another person, if you choose to save one instead of 20,
I don't think that's a morality issue. It's like choosing the right person. I mean, it's like if you choose one instead of another, then one person gets to live instead of them both dying. You know, it's more of like what's your perspective on it? If you choose to save this group of 10 and not that group of 10, like if you hadn't acted, then all 20 die, you know?
And so yeah, and that's 10. You know, and I feel like that's been something that was, you know, brought up a lot in the, you know, the Marvel universe was, okay, do we let one die To save
thousands, you know, or millions.
Or even hundreds. It's like, do I let this one person die to save? And it's like, morally, deep down, you should be like, no, we have to do whatever we can to save everybody. But it's like, overall, if you let that one person die and you were able to save 1,000 or 100,000, it's like, could you still look at that and go like, hey, that's good. And I think that's a win. That, I think, would definitely depend on the person. Because I think if you were to talk to someone like Captain America, he would be like, fuck no. Like, I would rather be the one that died trying to do the other thing than ever have to live with myself for that one person dying to save all these other people. So I think that's something that's even on the scale.
No, of course. And I agree. I think that the final boss was Josh.
Eating you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I think it's my controlled Hawkeye.
No, I'm going to give it to Josh. Josh is the final boss of this episode for
Thank you.
His roundabout logic.
Though unsuccessful
boss. He's like, you know, one of the he's like the kaiju in Pacific Rim. Like, you think you got him, but actually, like, he's escaped back.
And
me and
Jack are just controlling. The mind we're controlling a robotic version of mind controlled Hawkeye, and he's just a giant hypocrite. Yeah.
Amazing. Yes. But that's gonna do it for the Superman Complex episode, and I hope that you learn something about morality and the state of human nature. And just remember, kids, if you're gonna murder somebody, it doesn't matter why you did it. You're still going to be punished.
And God bless those who learn anything from us. We really hope that you don't You don't blame us for any future endeavors.
Anyways, from all of us at the Bonus Level Podcast, have a great week.
Later, taters.
Bye.